This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Welcome to the Bite Size Book Club podcast, She Well Read. We're your hosts, Alana
and Samra, and we're two Black girls in our mid-20s who are on a journey to get back into reading.
Our goal is to encourage women to not only read any and everything, but to also read at your own pace. Each episode, we take a bite-sized approach to reading by breaking down one chapter of a book and diving into a multitude of topics.
We see reading as a source of empowerment and want to bring people together through shared experiences and provide a platform that promotes reading as a source of empowerment.
Thanks for being here, and let's get on to the show.
Cousins, hello.
Yeah, you know we all cousins. You Black, you a cousin. It's just basic principles.
I'm like, not my cousin, pal.
Exactly, that ain't your cousin, though. Okay. Whew, all right. Hello, well-read baddies, and welcome to another episode of She Will Read. I'm Alana.
And I'm Samra.
And things are going to be real quick today because we had a little studio mix-up, which is fine. We're going to make it work. Yep. It's gonna happen, but we're going to get straight to the point.
We're flexible.
If you have never been here before, hi, welcome in. We are the Bite Size Book Club podcast, where every season we're dissecting one book chapter at a time for each episode. Bite Size, that's where it comes from. I'm Alana, she's Samra, like we said, we're the host of this show. Hey. And we're going to start off with our shout out corner as we always do, which is where we shout out all the things of where you can find us. You can follow us everywhere at She Well Read. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and leave comments on our videos. We do see them and we do respond. We also have a Patreon, which we just released our first Patreon episode.
Applause.
So if you are on our well-read baddie, I keep saying well-read baddie for real. Maybe we should just change it at this point. At the moment, it's called well-read for real tier. Then you have access to this episode and let us know what you think, because you can also leave comments on that and have a discussion with us. You love to see it.
We're excited.
Very excited. It's called the Double Enchilada. Here for it. That's the episode title, not the thing. Anyway, all right. Continuing on, be sure to support this season's partners. You can find all the discount codes listed in the description. And we also have a very new, exciting partner that we'll talk more about next episode. And we are very excited for this. So be sure to stay tuned for that.
Seasoning.
Like a little seasoning. Yeah,
like, just get ready.
Just a tip.
Cut it.
Coffee break, which is usually where we either talk about something in pop culture, something happening in the world, or just our lives in general. But we're skipping that today because we need to get right on into it, where we will get into the chapter.
I'm weak. Why I'm more weak at us than usual?
Because I'm like a freaking auction person. That's what I feel like I sound like.
I feel like you're triggering my fight or flight response.
Not your fight or flight response.
I'm like, ready to run. Ready to rumble.
Oh my goodness. All right. So today we are ending I'm Glad My Mom Died. We are finishing and starting with chapter 85, which is on page 288. Yeah, because the next one didn't have one, so I was like, wait, hello?
It's just two chapters on two pages.
Right. Do you want to go or I can go? Which what are we doing?
You start.
All right, cool. Let's go. It's cold and heavy in my hands. Okay, let me stop. That is how it starts, though.
It sounds super, like...
ominous?
Well, it sounds like... I don't know.
Oh, sexual?
Yeah. It feels sexual.
I got there. It's like, wait, what?
I thought you could pick it up. Yeah. Because I did not know how to say that word for some reason.
It just escaped you?
Yes.
I'm so weak. Okay, but Jeanette, our lovely heroine of this story, she is currently having her versus the scale competition. She is trying to once again throw away her scale because she does not want that to be the definition of her and her weight, not weight loss journey. That's me. Her and her.
Insert whatever struggle here.
Right. Insert whatever struggle here, honestly. Ooh, episode title. Love it.
Ooh.
But her bulimic journey, her eating disorder, and she's like, she's never really been able to truly get rid of it for good. Like, she'll get rid of it, then she'll buy a new one, get rid of it, buy a new one. And the cycle continues. And she says, I know it's unhealthy for anything to have that much authority over my self-worth, but no matter how hard I've tried to fight it, I have always felt reduced to the number on the scale. But maybe because, in a way, it's easier. She describes it as, like, it's, like, very defining and very exact, which I think a lot of people, at least speaking for myself, who've been through some type of trauma, like, we almost, like, clench to that because, like, it's something that you know is a fact no matter who tries to tell you otherwise. Like, things that are very definite are very comfortable and very safe.
I never.
So.
Okay, deep. Yeah.
Hello, I've been to therapy.
I mean, even what she said was interesting to me. But then, well, the whole thing, you know?
The whole concept?
Yeah. Yeah. What she said that, like, it's almost easier to, like, she didn't have to figure anything out for herself.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about it from that perspective. It's like, to define yourself, that means you have to know who you are, which sometimes that is, if you don't know, then
it's hard to do.
Yeah, but you can just step on a scale,
right? It's so like spits out an exact, you know, this is it, this is what it is.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's deeper than that, though. So much deeper than that. Even when she says, whatever the scale reads,
yeah,
I am that and only that. That is who I am.
Yeah.
Or rather, who I was.
Ooh, there is a lot of hope in these last chapters.
There is a lot of hope, which I was like, oh, thank God. Because every time something, I'm like, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. Like that, like, thought that we've had this whole book pretty much.
Yeah.
But we're, like, simmering down now. We're truly descending off the roller coaster.
I feel that. And honestly, I feel like I don't know if I ever really had a scale for real, for real. Mm-hmm. But whenever I did have one, and like whenever you go to the doctor and step on the scale, I was always so underweight. And everyone was always telling me, you need to just get to this weight.
Yeah.
Like, really strive for this number. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like having, I don't know why I wasn't thinking about it when I read this, but I had that same kind of thing of like being defined by like this number on the scale.
Mm-hmm.
If I could just reach 100
right.
pounds, like, because I always was like teetering on 95 until like college or maybe like even after that.
Yeah.
I don't know. At a certain point, I made it. I think it was college. It was college.
But yeah. And then it's almost like, what
took
now?
A long time. It was like since I was like 12.
Oh, wow.
I had just been like very thin, you know?
Yeah.
And because of like my own eating journey, like I was having acid reflux like crazy. Like I couldn't keep food down in certain times, especially when my anxiety was so bad that it was so hard for me to gain weight. And like I didn't have the medicine I have now.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, like, I had never been to therapy. I didn't know really
didn't
how
the
to
tools.
Deal with it. Yeah, so it didn't
Excuse
go
me.
Well, and I was struggling. And so that number, you know.
Yeah.
But now I'm thinking about it, and I don't ever step on my scale. You know, it
That's
doesn't
good.
Define me.
Yeah.
So,
see, meanwhile, me over here. But, like, I feel like mine comes
it's like
from.
A,
yeah.
I feel like the journey of weight, though, it's like.
It's, yeah.
Sometimes it's like, yeah, the ebb and flow. It's not
yeah.
like a destination, you know, because things always are changing.
Yeah, like you can get to a certain weight and then you have kids. You know what I mean? And then it's like it starts all over. That's like the first example that popped in my head. But
yeah,
like there's
but
so
anything,
many other things.
Right,
right.
Right.
So it is a constant just, you know,
or
up
seasonal
and down.
Even.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be honest.
Or even because I'm on my cycle right now. You gain like your weight is not the same even leading up to your cycle and after your cycle.
You're right. Yeah.
It's
you
just,
can gain like 10 pounds just in like the water weight and shit.
Yeah. It's just very, it's not singular.
It's so not. It's so not.
So the fact that she's developing this relationship with her scale, or I should say undeveloping this relationship with her scale, because she even ends it and she said, the next day comes and goes and I don't get a new scale.
I know, that was amazing. Love to see it.
Moving on, 86.
All right, so this is a relationship chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like each chapter is like a specific theme or topic, if you will.
Yeah, this one is so interesting. They are in a swan boat on Echo Park Lane.
Her and Steven.
Her and her boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Yes. Steven. I still haven't listened to the song.
Oh, that was going to be my next question. I can keep going.
Oh, damn. Okay. Well, darn. You know, the relationship came and went and I never listened. I guess you didn't make that much of an impact on me, Steven.
I'm so weak.
But Steven and her have been sitting in this boat for a little bit and they haven't really said a word.
Mm-hmm.
And Steven has been staring out into the distance, mm-hmm, in a sort of wistful, depressed stance.
Yeah.
I can't say that word right now. Stance. And he's just, he's been really contemplative these days, is what she says about Steven.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, not in a productive way, like he's getting his life together and just thinking about things and like realizing things as you do sometimes, but in a way that leads to nowhere. Mm-hmm. So where he might just be like, just kind of wallowing in.
Yeah, they're both kind of just floating in this relationship.
Yeah. And I wrote TikTok in the notes next to it because I was like, I feel like sometimes he says that she says it's the way that makes your wheels spin and your thoughts keep going in circles, but there's no forward movement. And I was like, it just made me think about scrolling through TikTok.
Oh.
And there's like no forward movement in your life, but you're just on this loop that like really leads nowhere. But
I mean, social media in general.
Yeah. So that was just a little note in my
at first I was like, TikTok. But now it makes sense.
I'm glad we got to this destination.
Yep.
Okay, so she's like, I've tried so long to help Steven, and she's given up at this point.
Mm-hmm.
She even mentions that she's like, was I trying to help him or control him? I'm not really sure. And she says, which, since they're so closely related, she's like, she's not sure. That's why. And I never thought about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is that toxic? Like, is that true?
A little bit.
I never really thought about that.
Yeah.
But like, if they ask for help, then it's not like that, right?
I don't know.
Controlling through helping? Like, I've never thought about it as like a control.
I feel like it's not intentional. Maybe that's the word. But like, it could still, like, just because you don't, like, it's just like when somebody's like, oh, like they say something and you're like, well, that statement just hurt my feelings. It's like, well, that wasn't my intent.
Yeah.
But it's like, you still have to validate what you did.
Yeah.
It's like, you still hurt somebody's feelings though. And like, you still controlled this person, even though that might not be what you wanted to do or your intentions.
Okay. I'm getting where you're coming from.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that can't happen.
Okay. Well, period. She gave up, right? So we're happy for her because it has been a little much having her try to like bring Steven along places because he can't go a minute without smoking weed. And he's just been in this phase where he's like super hung up on life and like thinks nothing matters, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like we talked about last chapter. It was like she was almost doing more for him than he was doing
for
her.
He's not doing anything for himself or her.
Yeah, or him. That was, yeah, we were like, we said the two
and
things.
That was a good point that like she brings up in this chapter is like, she's like, I'm trying to solve his problems and it's taking away from the time that I could be solving my own problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what her therapist is telling her, but she's finally on board.
Mm-hmm.
And she said basically once she stopped trying to help Steven, and honestly she realized that he was trying to help her at one point with her eating disorder, and they've just always been like pulling each other up and trying to get each other to like man up and walk the walk that they want them to be walking, but like they're never just existing and being honestly like in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because she's like, we have nothing to talk about anymore. And that's why they've been sitting in this boat for 5 minutes without saying anything.
Yeah, it's like they lost what they had of a relationship, and now it's more just like a chore.
Yeah,
which is hard.
It's so sad. Mm-hmm. But their love story was so beautiful. It's so sad to like see all the love drained out.
Yeah, and I feel like the love part it's still there. It's just the relationship itself is no longer serving either party, and it's like they need to go their separate ways to. Yes. The betterment of each other.
And it's even toxic in the sense that Jeff, her therapist, gave her some materials to read, and it was about codependency, and she was reading it, and she's like, I just resonated with a lot more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. And she realizes they're in a codependent relationship.
But if you think about it, she unknowingly had a codependent relationship with her mom, so it's almost the only thing she knows how to do relationship wise. Like that's been her framework for relationships.
It's so much easier to if you just rely on, if you don't like diligently keep up with your, I guess, mental and stuff, mm-hmm. it is easy to fall into the traps of your parents. It's a generational thing. I feel like people just continue generationally to struggle with the same stuff, mm-hmm. because it's easier to not deal with it in a way sometimes than it is to, or you may not even have the education to be like, oh, I should deal with this.
Right, exactly.
So they are, all of that to say, like, the glue of the relationship, they're like, they just, the spark, it's gone. And so they both kind of know what they're here to do.
Yeah, it's like a mutual breakup, low-key.
She breaks the silence finally and says, "Steven," and it jogs him out of his trance, and he looks at her, and she doesn't even have to say anything. He starts crying, she starts crying, and they hold each other and they cry together for a second, and mm-hmm. they're still pedaling
this swan boat,
this giant fucking bird boat, in her words.
Yeah, which I was like,
that's so a crazy weak. Picture. to think about my mind.
Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. Okay, on to 87. Her Netflix show is done. Dunzo.
Is it on Netflix still? Like, I need to figure
this
out.
I meant to look. Damn it. Now that you say that, I was like, that was on my to-do list to go look and see if it's even still available.
Because it's 2 seasons.
But wasn't it like an Australian Netflix? And like, you know, the Netflixes are different. Like, we have stuff that other Netflix countries don't. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. We can still look.
I don't know. Because she said she went to go promote the Australian one. But I think she was on the American one, too.
Oh, no. This is still the Australian one. This is all still the same show.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah. Okay. So, basically, she's getting on a call with all of her many agents that we found out a few chapters ago, that she has like 5 different agents and they all do different things, but she has no idea what each of them singularly do. And they're all clicking into this call and basically like, hey, we got bad news. Your show got canceled. And she's like, it's bad news to y'all, but low-key I'm relieved, because we find out she's promised herself that if it got picked up for another season, she would do it. But if not, like, this would kind of be her break that she's going to be taking from acting, mm-hmm. which she tells her agents, and they're like, oh, like, are you sure? Like, you know, don't make any rash decisions almost. And she's like, yeah, no, like, I'm sure. They're like, okay, well, if you change your mind, we'd love to send you out for some more roles. And she's like, I'll let you know. And, you know, it's a few awkward goodbyes, and basically she describes it as an 18-year career ended in a 2-minute phone call.
Ooh.
Which just tells you just how much she just was not invested in this thing. Mm. Like, it really didn't matter. I mean, it's like a huge thing, like a chapter closing, but, like, she's almost more relieved than anything else.
I love that for her, that she chose this, mm-hmm. that she put her health first.
Right, exactly. Yeah, she even says, I feel at peace with the decision. And, you know, first it took her a lot of mulling over with Jeff, which, can I just say that this is proof of that when you are first doing therapy and going to therapy, if the first person doesn't work out, That's okay.
That's so true.
On to the next.
That is so, so, so true.
Because therapy is like forming another relationship. It has to be the right fit for both people for it to work and actually be effective.
Yeah, it's so disappointing when it doesn't work.
Yeah, and disheartening.
Yeah, it's so annoying to have to look for a doctor at all in general.
And the whole insurance side of it, making sure they're in network.
Oh my gosh, you're calling all these people.
Mm-hmm, but it's so worth it once you do find the right fit.
True. It can change your life.
It can. So I just wanted to call that out. And so she even describes it as she's resentful of the fight and exhausted with it, the fight of keeping her career alive. Mm. So she's finally taking some control of it. And she's even taking control with her relationship with food. And the healthier that relationship becomes, the more unhealthier a career acting seems for her. It's almost like she's getting that clarity. It just reminded me of when you were like, post nut clarity in one episode. I don't even remember which one, but that shit was funny.
Oh, God.
And so, yeah, she's just like, you know, stepping away from it. She's feeling like she's getting control back into her life, and her life's in her hands, not an eating disorder or a casting director or an agent or her mom's, but hers.
Yes, Jeanette! Jeanette McCurdy!
Literally screaming that the whole time reading this.
I'm so fucking happy to be here.
Yes.
88. Okay, guys. It's her 26th birthday.
Woo!
Which I was like, we're 26.
I know, right?
So that's crazy.
You're okay anyway.
I'm almost. Whatever.
Damn near.
I'm 26 in spirit.
I'm so weak.
Eight, that 9 months, that's pussy.
Girl,
over.
Come on.
All right, so they are at Disney World, and by they I mean her and Miranda.
We love to see it.
Miranda Cosgrove, iCarly. Carly.
Yes.
She's Carly. And they've been friends for years at this point. They share a huge part of their life together, and they're just having this sweet moment. And Miranda gets her the perfect present and the perfect card, and she has the perfect handwriting and the perfect jokes.
Perfect. Oh, that could be another episode title. Okay, keep going.
But they are at Disney World, and they're staying there thanks to Grandpa, which shout out to him always.
Shout out to the world.
Yes, he got them a hell of a discount.
Mm-hmm.
And so Miranda's basically just asking her, what do you want to do first? Do you want to go into Disney World or do you want to go to dinner? And Jeanette is like, I want to go to Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
But she points out that anytime someone makes her choose between doing something that involves eating and doing something that does not involve eating, she's always going to choose the event that does not involve eating, because she thinks that the whole process of eating right now is complicated. Mm-hmm. It has been for her for the majority of her life. So it's just habit at this point. It triggers her, and she doesn't want to deal with it if she doesn't have to.
Yeah. But we find out that, like, she's been doing so well with her bulimia that, like, it's not even technically bulimia anymore.
That's huge. No, that's so true. But she's still hard on herself for it, which is the thing he said that a lot of people with this disease are to themselves, which is they're perfectionists.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's like this person who sometimes exhibits bulimic behavior instead of being considered bulimic still doesn't sound great to her.
Mm-hmm.
She says she's glad at least that when she does have a slip, that slips no longer turn into spirals or slides. Which is right.
So exciting.
Exact. Like,
the growth, babe. The growth.
Wow.
Ooh, another one. Okay,
but she wants to be sturdier and more confident in her recovery. Like, looking back at a past thing that happened to her versus, like, still kind of dealing with it.
In the thick of things, yeah.
She calls, So they go into Disney World, and she's been using this disguise. So she puts on her little disguise, and they hop on Space Mountain, and then they go on a few more rides. And then eventually her stomach starts growling, and they are like, okay, it's dinner time.
It is time to eat, yeah.
And Miranda, she mentions, knows all about her food issues, and she has known since early in her recovery, which kind of makes Miranda hyper aware of Jeanette's anxieties when she is around her. Jeanette feels like she's being watched by Miranda, and she is just like, I want to get this eating over with, and hopefully, like, I don't purge. So she orders something really healthy. She orders like a salmon. Mm-hmm. But there's this guacamole and chips for the table that just gets her like really distracted. And she mentions that her brain has like this, I guess, weird thing when it comes to eating. Just in general. I mean, obviously.
It's like, what?
An eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So she just mentions that anytime there's food involved in a, you know, like a conversation over food, the food is always like having a conversation with her too, almost. Mm-hmm. That's distracting. It's almost like they're not alone, yeah. Like her and Miranda right now. So she is trying to just, she's just hoping that this will eventually go away with time. And she can just tell Miranda's watching her. And so she's reminding herself to chew slowly and to act normal. But then she excuses herself to go to the bathroom and does, you know what, in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
She also mentions that she checks all the stalls, and she's learned from like this other time where she got caught doing this by a fan and it was not good. And she's just like super diligent. Vigilant. Yeah, about this. She's like an she's a master. She's a master.
She,
knows,
she has a routine.
She's been doing this for years. This she knows what the fuck's going on. And she just also kind of reflects, and she's thinking about what she told Jeff, or something Jeff told her, and he said, "You don't want to be 45 at the office Christmas party with 3 kids and a mortgage, sneaking into the bathroom to puke up the artichoke dip." So she's like thinking about that because, you know, she's, you know, still being very hard on herself.
She's getting older.
And yes, she's getting older. So she's like, I think about my mom and I don't want to be her. She doesn't want to be in her midlife, like living off steamed vegetables and still doing these things to keep herself thin. She said she just, she's just like making a pact with herself that she's going to get better and not be like her mom.
Which I was like, yes, another win. Period. Another one. On to 89. She's writing. We are at a Christmas party. And she has described it that, you know, her agents dropped her after they realized that her break wasn't going to be short-lived from acting. And she's also, you know, craving some food. And so she's looking around at the buffet and she sees cheeseburgers, but she's like, nah, that's not what I want right now. I want something sweet. And then she sees the chocolate chip cookie and she's like, perfect. So she's eating. She's realizing that, like, this is something she would not let herself eat before. And the fact that she's not making a big deal out of it is, like, also a big deal because it's just, like, more
huge,
natural feeling.
Huge
it's huge
deal.
For her recovery. Yeah. And she said it's been difficult, you know, with the bulimia and the alcohol-ridden years, and everything's very different and everything's difficult, but it's a kind of difficult she can have pride in. And she thinks about, you know, going up to Dwayne The Rock Johnson because he just always seems to be at these things. And she thinks about going to talk to him, but she gets really anxious about it. And so she's trying to think of something witty to say, and she just cannot come up with the right thing. And she just goes back to eating her cookie and enjoying her cookie.
The thing I loved about this chapter is she said she pays attention to what she feels these days instead of just doing, I guess, what she thinks she has to do.
Right, right.
So you love to see it.
You do. Chapter 90.
Oh, Lord. Okay. Jeanette's in her late 20s now. Mm-hmm. She said something that was pretty insightful. She said, at the beginning of the decade, the people I was close to seemed like friends for life. People I could never imagine not seeing every day. But life happens. Love happens. Love loss happens. Change and growth happen at different paces for people. And sometimes the paces just don't line up.
And that's what happened with her and Miranda. But we talked about this, like, seasonal friendships. You brought it up, like,
and it's so okay.
Yeah, it's fine. It doesn't mean you don't like
friendships in a way. Yeah. You know, like, not even the point of them, because there's different types of friendships,
right?
But right, there's, and that's a
yeah.
Season one, man.
Yeah.
But she is receiving a call from her girl
Miranda,
and it's been a long time since they've talked, so she's like, hey, and Miranda's like, hey, and they just crack up, like, they're just having, you know, it's just like, you know, my old girl,
fun times,
good times, throwback to that time. And Jeanette's like, I already know what you're calling about,
because Nickelodeon's already called, the conversations have already been stirring.
Exactly, they are trying to reboot the show, so we are honestly pretty recent, mm-hmm. because that reboot is happening
and apparently it's doing well. It's getting picked up for more seasons and everything.
Good, love to see. I'm gonna have to to watch one.
But Jeanette said no.
Jeanette's like, hell no. She even says Miranda's trying to convince her. She's like, think about the opportunities. Mm-hmm. And Jeanette's like, I've thought this through, babe. I disagree with the opportunity thing. It's not gonna happen. It's only making me more of Sam in this case for her. Like, it makes you, it almost solidifies that you'll, you know, always be reminded of someone's, like, lack of work in between the old show and the new show.
Yeah, it's like, but like, what did you do in between
here?
Yeah. Like, where's the growth, honey?
So she says basically to Miranda also that there's just, oh, and Miranda's like, I've even negotiated your contract and you'll make as much as I do. I fought for it for you. And Jeanette's like, there's better things. There's more important things than money, basically.
Period.
Yeah. She said, my mental health and happiness fall under that category. And there's just like this little moment of silence on the phone. You know, Miranda's like, valid, probably, like,
head, yeah, right? Like,
can't argue with that. And Jeanette even mentions that it's one of those rare moments where she felt like she didn't say too much or too little, and she represented herself accurately, and there's nothing she would change about the way she said it. She felt proud, or she feels proud of herself in this moment. So, huge win for Miss Jeanette.
Huge wins. She just stays winning. And finally, we end it with chapter 51.
91.
Why did I say 51? Anywho. It starts with, hi, Mom. And I was like, hello? Are we looping back? But we find out that she is sitting at her mom's grave right now. Because remember the promise that she made her mom that she would visit every day. But she's actually not kept up with that promise. And it's almost been like a weekly kind of as she can basis. And she almost feels kind of sad for that too, because, you know, she made this promise and now she's not keeping it and all these things. And there's this other mourner there too, who's, you know, grieving their person, and just, she likes to have more of a like private moment with this. And she's reading off all of the things that they put on her mom's tombstone, which, like, so many adjectives to try to describe her, because they couldn't like pick just a few. They had to have all of these. And it's just, she says it's hoardy looking, just like her mom's house used to be. Like, it's very, like, on ironic. Brand. Yeah, on brand. And she's like, but was she any of those things? Was took she really, though?
Out. Took me out, because they were saying words, or she said there's words on there like, brave, kind, loyal, sweet, loving, graceful, strong, thoughtful, funny, genuine. Like, all these things, that I'm looking at them, and I'm like, I don't know. You know, if mm-hmm. any of those things are true, I would argue they aren't.
Right. And so she starts saying, you know, why do we romanticize the dead? Why can't we be honest with them, especially moms? And she goes into how Ooh. We kind of romanticize moms. Like, they're these superhumans who can do no wrong, but they can't actually do wrong because they're also human at the end of the day.
She made points.
And she says, my mom didn't deserve a pedestal. She was a narcissist. She refused to admit that she had any problems. And she was emotionally, mentally, and physically abusive.
Wow. Speak, Jeanette.
And she taught me, she just goes through all the things. She taught me an eating disorder at 11 years old. She bathed me until I was 17. Like, if she was still here today, she would still be doing those things because she never apologized for it when she was here.
Wow.
It only just got worse. So it's
Wow, it did. Even in the cancer, it got worse.
And she, down to she never even told her who her real dad was. So it's just all of these things that she's like, you know what? Screw this. I'm not putting up with society's view of moms and having to bow down to them. Like, no, she fucked me up. And I probably would still be fucked up if she was here. So you know what? I'm never coming back. She never goes back to her mom's grave. She said, screw this. I'm not mourning anything. Like, she's dealt with the grief of losing her mom, but she's also dealt with the fact of what that came with and what that relationship was. That she's like, you know what? It's unhealthy, so I'm ending it. And that's how she ends this book.
Wow.
Well, you guys, it's been a lot, but we will catch you all next time at our wrap-up episode. We got one more episode this season. But until then, I'm Alana.
I'm Samara.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.